Hello and welcome to another edition of the Purple Theory Podcast, part of the Republic of Football Network, brought to you by Dave Campbell's Texas Football. My name is Grant McGalliard. I'm joined, as always, by my friend, my co-host, Parker Fleming. Parker, how you doing today, bud?
Grant, I'm doing well. Long couple of days with the long couple of weeks with the draft last week, and with some real life stuff this week, and taking care of some crossing some T's and dotting some I's in my academic career. So it's been a little hectic, but tell you what, it's been up in the 80s all week. I think all the snow has finally melted, so I'm feeling all right, man. Feeling all right.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, we tossed around the idea of recording a pre-draft show, but Parker was so busy with his actual job. And also, what's the point of doing that if we would have just gotten things wrong anyway? So we're going to do a draft recap show instead.
Yeah, tell you what, Grant, we're kind of like, my dad went to this like very small Catholic college in Memphis, and they sold T-shirts at the bookstore that said Christian Brothers Football, undefeated since 1752 or whatever, you know, the first LaSallian thing. And that's kind of us. Our draft predictions are unimpeachable, rather.
We've literally never been wrong.
We like to keep it that way.
Before we get to that, we do have one bit of important news to address. By the time you're listening to this, a new Turnpike Troubadour song will have come out. Are you excited for Mean Old Son?
Grant, I have been asking myself for years how I find that old forgotten feeling, the one that carried me so many years ago. And it looks like our good friends are going to hand it to me on a silver platter this weekend. So I'm very excited about it.
I'm Jack. New album coming in August too, I think. Really great profile of Turnpike in Rolling Stone this week. So make sure to read that if you haven't.
Matt Jennings always gets mad at us for promising things and not following through on this podcast, because we do that a lot kind of off the cuff. But Grant, I promise you, we will do, whether it's a special edition or just an entire episode, we will do a song by song breakdown reaction of that podcast. So help me. Next week, we're 100% gonna do 15 minutes on the new single.
Absolutely we are. I like that you think we'll be able to keep it to 15 minutes, but yes, we'll do our best. And one other thing, mea culpa, in our last podcast, Kansas City apparently has a new airport, and our friend Scott Wildcat pointed that out to us. So hand up, that's on us. Sorry.
I can't be bullied by Scott. I'm not going to take that. I've been there with my own eyes. I don't care if it's changed since I've been there. I haven't seen it changed. And so I can't know.
Also, apparently Manhattan, Kansas has its own airport. What do you think the population of Manhattan, Kansas is? Without looking.
125,000.
There are 54,000 people.
With or without the college?
It's a great question, but even with the college, it probably wouldn't be more than 100,000.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, so we were right, as always. The 2023 NFL draft took place. Shoot, was that last week?
I have a bit. I don't even know if I've told you about this, Grant. Sometimes a take comes along that's just so incredible that you can't help but react to it. Sometimes someone says something so baffling that you think, surely he's having a stroke and needs medical attention. But no, he goes on Twitter and doubles down and triples down on this take.
Okay.
Tangentially related to the NFL draft, specifically related to the NFL draft, I'm not going to say who this person is because he and I have chatted some. I like him. I'm still holding out hope that like he just had a fatigue-induced lapse. But he's still tweeting about it, so I don't really know what we're going to do here. But I saw a tweet today about the Kansas City Chiefs pick of Felix Anudike Uzoma. It was close. At 31st, and he said he was my 38th edge rusher in the draft, so I wasn't high on him, but Kansas City, they could not pick someone for the fans. 38th edge rusher, Grant. That is beyond skimming the barrel. This is someone who does draft analysis and preview professionally for a living and is on in calls games and is good. I've watched broadcasts that he has been on and they have been good. And this is perhaps the most insane draft take that I have seen in my entire life. And Grant, we did the Will Levis thing this cycle. And this is still so much worse.
By the way, I'm not letting you get off on Will Levis. Now a member of your Tennessee Titans, as you know.
Gross.
Sorry,
Dave. Dave is replacing Brian as our fictitious person. We apologize to when something bad happens on the podcast. I guess we should apologize to Ish, probably.
Yeah, probably.
I like that the Titans. Okay, wait, I don't want to get past this.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, Felix led Kansas State in tackles. He had 46 tackles, or excuse me, in pressures. He had 46 pressures. He had 34 tackles. He forced 2 fumbles. He hurried the quarterback 29 times, hit him a further 9. What more do you want? He was the cornerstone of that defensive front, which was arguably one of the best in the conference.
Yeah, say you don't like him. Say he's like not, you know, not your top guy. Say he's a reach in the first round. But 38, the dude is all Big 12, has had multiple years of sustained production playing for a Power 5 school, and changed the gravity of the defense so fundamentally that teams were absolutely scheming around him. I think that's just I don't know if that's a hot take. I don't know if that's a brain fart. I don't know if that's an aneurysm, but it was truly astounding. And Grant, given the amount of self-censoring, I was going to say a bad word, nonsense that we see on the internet, it really takes a lot to just bewilder me. And frankly, this bewildered me.
I'm glad you got that off your chest. Again, I don't know if it's quite as nutso as the Will Levis saga, but it certainly did make no sense whatsoever. So,
yeah. Okay. So Will Levis, one, I almost feel bad for him.
I do too.
Except that like his agent did him dirty, 100%. And go Google who his agent is. You can figure that out. His agent knows what he's doing. His agent is not a new guy who's in over his head. He was wrong. And that is why, it's spicy. That's why you see Will Levis at Pro Day talking about, you know, I wouldn't go if I thought I was going to slip. And that's why you see him leaving on the second day. That's why you saw the clip as the Kansas City Chiefs were on the clock at 31 of him kind of yelling into his phone and walking away from the cameras. Mm-hmm. So in some ways I feel bad about it, but in other ways, if your agent is going to trade puff pieces for access and work the phones and, you know, throw your offensive coordinator under the bus, throw your entire team under the bus, lie about your injury status, and you fall. I mean, there's something in the Bible about people who you put your lots in with. I just think at some point you're going to reap what you sow there, even if it's your agent sowing on your behalf, you know?
That's fair. I feel bad for him at some level. And then I remember that he's going to make millions of dollars, and then I'm not actually feeling that.
That's absolutely fair. And I will say another soapbox on that before we get to our real, you know, draft topic of today is don't let any reply guy on the internet who's trying to be a pick me dude, trying to stand out for NFL draft content, bully you and try and tell you something that you see on tape isn't actually real. Like the people who tried to lie to you that Will Levis was a top 5 pick and that he was going to go top 5 and NFL teams loved him, we're just doing that. They were lying to try and get engagement online. Do better than that. Don't let a reply guy tell you that you don't know ball. That is just absurd. The amount of nonsense I got in mentions and in DMs, the amount of stuff. I mean, my colleague Eric Eager had a guy who said, "I bet you $500 that Will Levis is going to go first overall," and it was is pretty good. It's a good bit. It's a good bit of content there. But you just look, man. Have your own thoughts. Don't trust the papers, you know?
Yes, right, exactly. Don't believe everything you read, unless we're the ones telling it to you, in which case you should believe it, because, again, we've never lied. One quick note on my Houston Texans. Hell yeah, did it. Screw the nerds. That was the right trade. Trade-up's number 3. Get Stroud, get Will Anderson. Perfect. No notes. Congratulations, you did it.
Got the guys, right?
Got the guys.
And like, okay, let's give a handout to Blue Collar America here. This is funny because he's from Stanford, so he's very much not Blue Collar America. But like, a lot of NFL teams have a worse backup than Davis Mills.
True, absolutely.
The dude was in there. The dude's a fighter. totally worked out. And I think they liked Stroud and kind of stuck to their guns. I think that they definitely overpaid for Anderson, but you start talking about surplus value and you talk about how bad the AFC South is. It's kind of like, I mean, okay, you overpaid, whatever, but that might tip the needle sooner rather than later. So I think it's definitely arguable. It's nice to see a team have a vision, comparing them to my Titans, who I'm the world's most casual Titans fan. It peaks about draft time for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's about it. And at least the Texans have a vision. At least they've got some stones. At least they can pull the trigger.
And I think all the numbers talking about the value and overpaying for Anderson are kind of ignoring the fact that in a way that we really were trading for half of a quarterback, because they wanted to say, okay, are we going to keep Davis Mills? Or are we going to pick up who's probably the best player in the draft and Will Anderson? That allowed them to do both. And they got CJ Stroud. So I think some of that value estimation doesn't take into account the fact that it allowed them to get the quarterback that they wanted.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for flexibility. While we're here, because they're in the state of Texas, I think they're under the purview of Dave Campbell's Texas football, who we are affiliated with but not governed by. That's a good deep track TCU joke right there. I just want to let you know.
Yes, it is.
Okay, CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, Juice Scruggs, great name for an interior offensive lineman from Penn State. So you get a Power 5, Big East, Big Nasty. That's great. Mm-hmm. Tank Dell at 69 overall. Round three.
Nice.
He fell. That is a good pickup there in round three. Dude, little guy, but also was playing like the Quentin Johnson role for Houston and attracted a ton of attention in the American and still was able to do it. Thought that was good. Here's the pick I really love. Round four, number 109 overall, Dylan Horton.
I assume he was on that guy's big board before Felix.
Yeah, Dylan Horton, according to some sources, Dylan Horton was defensive edge number two. Will Anderson, Dylan Horton right there. No, Dylan Horton, one, what a testament to the American dream, right?
Oh,
a dude 100%. Who played safety in high school, went to, what, New Mexico, got bigger every year, mm-hmm. Took HGH out of cycle, so he never got popped for a test.
That's a joke for legal reasons.
That's not even alleging anything. I'm saying that would be awesome if that was true. I'm not making fun of that. That's an art. That's an art, not a science. But moved closer to the ball every year, came into a bad situation at TCU where he was like, hey, you're a rotation guy. This year steps up in a new defense, learns to play it, and balls out. And Houston says, you know what? We're going to take a chance on a freak athlete. Dylan Horton was on Bruce Feldman's freak list at the mm-hmm. beginning of the season. I think it's a great fit. I feel very good about Houston taking him there. It's great for a guy who's kind of been grinding his whole career to get rewarded, you know?
I completely agree. I also like Houston's pick of Henry To'oTo'o from Alabama.
Dodge Charger fame. I don't know if you remember that.
The same.
He transferred from Tennessee, immediately tweeted a photo of him. Maybe it was a Corvette. I can't remember. I thought it was a Charger. And then immediately took it down off Instagram.
Life is a gift.
Another guy they took that's probably interesting, and we're getting into the Big 12 stuff. I don't know. We haven't really scheduled this well, and it's been a long day, so I'm just kind of rolling with it. But like, they took Xavier Hutchinson.
They did.
Who just as the world's leading Hunter Decker stan, that's me. Mm-hmm. Xavier Hutchinson is like public enemy number one. There were just so many drops. Hunter Decker's threw for 3,000 yards, obligatory mention in this podcast. In 2022, and still had the most yards lost to drops of any Big 12 quarterback. Xavier Hutchinson had, off the top of my head, three drops that would have won the game if he had caught those. And so my theory about him is that as a number one option, not what you want.
Right.
But as a secondary, probably tertiary option, could get some quality snaps in the NFL. So good for him. I think that's a good pick for Houston.
Kind of like a Quentin Johnston light almost, where you got all the physical tools, but your hands really aren't the primary.
Mom, can we go get Quentin Johnston? No, we have Quentin Johnston at home. That's Xavier Hutchinson.
We have Quentin Johnston and Ames and Xavier.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's do it this way, Parker. We're going to touch. We won't go deep dives into every single player that was picked from a Big 12 team, but we'll at least mention them and give them credit where credit is due. We'll start with the Cleveland Browns, who drafted Baylor's Siaki Ika. the only Baylor player that was drafted this year. Absolutely massive dude at defensive tackle. Kind of a focal point of that defensive front line at Baylor. What do you like about Siaki, Parker?
Okay, so a couple of things. One, big arms. And honestly, yes. I think that I'm starting to agree with just the old school football guys of like, you just got to draft dudes. And he is absolutely a dude. A little bit concerned about him being on the field enough to make an influence. I really thought that, I mean, Baylor's defense was bad last year, and it's mostly because their cornerbacks they were just a sieve. But I don't think that Ika, once he was on film, so like 2021, he was on film, 2022, even when they had player to rotate, and even with Gabe Hall as a credible threat on the edge there, I guess he's a tackle, not an edge. I'm not 100% sure what the distinction is, but Ika wasn't as disruptive. So there were kind of diminishing returns there. And so I think that when he was kind of breaking out in 2021, I was like, this is Vita Vea, dude. This is a game changing disruptive dude. And now I'm like, I think he could be Vita Vea for like 30 plays a game, which is valuable, but it's much less valuable than I kind of thought he was last year. If that makes sense.
No, I think that's totally fair. And honestly, Vita Vea is kind of the comp that I had in mind as well. Look, he played 415 snaps last year. That's not that many, even in a defense that rotates out defensive linemen. But he's 6'3", 339. And sometimes you just have to draft dudes.
You just got to draft dudes. Can I calibrate for a second? We're just doing this on air. Yeah. Let's not talk about the NFL as much and talk more about what they did in college and why we like them as college players. I'm trying to reclaim that. I like that.
Okay. Yeah. Move on to Brigham Young University. Three players.
Well, we're just doing it. Do we not have a ceremony? We didn't need like a ribbon cutting for the joining or anything. We're just like, they're in.
They're in.
Okay.
From this moment on, they're in. It's Big 12. Let's see. They have three players drafted. Blake Freeland in the fourth round to the Indianapolis Colts, offensive tackle. Puka Nacua to the Rams in the fifth round.
You gotta say it fast. You gotta say Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua in the fifth round. And then Jaren Hall, the quarterback, went to the Vikings also in the fifth round. So three offensive guys from BYU, no one on defense getting drafted. I thought, you know, Nacua was obviously kind of their main guy, wide receiver there, certainly maybe the best performing of the wideouts at BYU. But I don't know, anything stand out to you?
He missed a couple games, right? I get the impression that BYU in 2022 was, in addition to, we'll talk about this on the preview, in addition to a level of defensive ineptitude that is honestly impressive. Mm-hmm. They weren't healthy all at the same time, where they didn't have like Gunnar Romney and Puka Nacua and Jaren Hall and what the other guy's name is all healthy at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think that definitely tainted their results there. So again, Nacua, experienced athlete, I think showed flashes of being super productive there. Where did he go?
He went in the fifth round to the Rams.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this, because I've been up to my eyeballs in like, here's what we expect from this like draft, you know, this draft position and the value and everything. Let's speak to Joe Everyman here. What do I expect if I'm a BYU fan out of a fifth round pick? What am I looking for there?
You expect him to make a roster. That's like, hey, if things break, he's going to be on the 53 man when the season starts or whatever it is.
Like, if he catches a touchdown, I'm like, dude, that's pretty awesome, right?
That's sick. Yeah. That guy was cool in college. And to be fair, he was hurt a little bit, but he had 5 touchdowns, 13 yards per catch, 48 catches on the year. And he could line up anywhere. He was 61% out wide and 37% in the slot. So
I don't want to put you on the spot. How big is he?
6'2", 200.
Dude, okay, so that's not – he's not one of those, like, little 5'8", 185 dudes, and he's not 6'4", 230. Like, he is – that's versatile right there. That's interesting. I bet he could get some play there if he's healthy. Yeah, that's very fun. So.
Freeland, offensive tackle, did not – he played every single snap at left tackle and didn't allow a sack all year. He had a 90 PFF grade. Pretty damn good. Let's draft that guy. He wasn't going up against the best competition, but still –
I mean, good players do well against bad players. I think a younger me would have immediately been like, oh, he's a candidate to switch to right tackle. But you know what I've learned, Grant?
What's that?
Playing tackle is hard for anybody. It doesn't matter if it's left or right. There's not like this hierarchy where it's like, oh, you're bad, you can just go to right tackle. It's like, if you haven't played right tackle, you got to learn the steps again. That's really hard. That's not something that's trivial. And so I bet he'll play left tackle. Again, BYU lineman, kind of quietly, not a bad pick there to get some of those beefy experienced dudes on their first contract and a good position. You know, he went a little higher than the other guys, a little less of taking a flyer there with a premium position, a guy who can one, play for your team, but two, if I'm taking a tackle early, round three, I think it was. If I'm taking round four tackle, I'm drafting you to come kick my defensive end's ass in practice, right? And make them better. Like, and I think Freeland's going to play a great role there. And if somebody gets hurt, I feel pretty comfortable with him sliding in. So I think that's a good spot.
With as much experience as he has, I agree. And then Jaren Hall, quarterback, he is every BYU quarterback I've ever seen. So
can I give you the hottest take that I think I've encountered recently?
Sure.
What if Jaren Hall has terrible medicals? Jaren Hall has been hurt, like walking wounded for years. He was hurt ahead of 2020, which is largely the reason that like Zach Wilson had the job uncontested. Mm-hmm. There's a very real possibility that if Jaren Hall wasn't hurt, Zach Wilson, as we know him, doesn't exist because Jaren Hall plays that 2020 season.
So Jaren Hall got hurt, and then the Jets traded for Aaron Rodgers. Domino meme.
Domino.
The guy knocking over the verb meme.
Can I do a quick plug, and I won't do it again. Yesterday, Quinn McLean and I, he's a data scientist at Sumer with me, talked about, he wrote an article about late round quarterbacks. That was pretty great. We did on the Sumer Sports podcast, a deep dive into like what makes a late round quarterback potentially interesting in the NFL. You should go check that out. Sumer Sports on YouTube.
I like it. We're going to speed it up just a tad. We're moving to Cincinnati. In the third round, the Las Vegas Raiders draft Trey Tucker at wideout. The Bears took another Cincinnati wideout, Tyler Scott, in the fourth. And then the Titans drafted Josh Weil, tight end, in the fifth round. As a Titans fan, are you looking for Mr. Weil to make an appearance on the roster?
No, I wish they'd have drafted a wide receiver there instead of a tight end. Tight ends are a hard position because, like, a rookie tight end is not going to have a ton of impact. It normally takes them like 3 to 4 seasons to really mature there. I will say, since he had what I think six starters, maybe seven starters drafted last year, mm-hmm. and three this year from that playoff team, that's 9 guys. That's pretty impressive for an American team. All three of these guys sound like creative player.
Yes.
Trey Tucker, Tyler Scott, Josh Weil. Yeah.
Yeah. And also one note for the college crowd, that is Cincinnati's three top receiving targets all gone in this draft. Weil is number 3.
But so, they hired a good offensive minded coach who can change the culture, right? Right?
Oh, he'll change the culture. I just don't know exactly what they're looking for.
Grant, some say that freedom's just another word for having nothing left in the world.
Shout out Chris Christopherson.
Sorry, I was referencing the Janis Joplin.
I know. But whatever. The Houston Cougars, we touched on Nathaniel Dell getting drafted to, well, the Houston Texans. Clayton Tune, who is every Houston quarterback you can imagine, got drafted 5th to the Arizona Cardinals. That's an interesting quarterback room with Kyler Murray and Clayton Tune there. I wish Cliff was still around to see that.
Kyler Murray hurt.
True.
And then David Blau, I think, is there from Purdue.
I forgot about that guy.
They're actually good. Okay, again, I said I wasn't going to plug it again, but we specifically talked about Clayton Tune being a breakout quarterback potentially. Clayton Tune might have the plurality of probability of being the Cardinals week 1 starter.
David Blau has started 5 games in the NFL. 7 games in the NFL.
If I was an announcer and David Blau was playing at quarterback, every time they did a big pass or connected on it, it'd be like, Blau!
That's the stupidest thing you've ever said on this podcast. That is a long story history.
That's a pretty low bar. Yeah, that's pretty hard stupid to beat. That's good. I feel good about it.
Dell did have 17 touchdowns. There's 2 other guys I got to mention. Derek Parrish, fullback, got drafted in the 7th round by the Jaguars. Okay. And Jarvarius Owens was drafted in the 7th round by the Giants. See, Mr.
Weird Earl. There, because Derek Parrish, 2 things about him. 1, defensive lineman. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't know why he's listed as a fullback there. Derek Parrish is 100% a defensive lineman.
Well, this may be an error in the chart we're looking at, but.
Derek Parrish's vascularity is almost unmatched in college football. I don't know if you like, can you just Google a picture of him real quick?
I absolutely can. He returned in the East-West Shrine Bowl and played, pull back.
Interesting.
I heard injury.
Okay. Any picture of him that you pull up?
Oh, that is a vascular man.
Bicep vein. And that's not like he's posed and in good lighting. That's like he's walking around on the field with veins popping out of his biceps.
It's not even the biceps. It's the traps for me. He's got just huge traps.
The shoulder pads sit nicely. And I like, honestly, if we're going to get into this, I'm looking at a picture right here. The symmetry. So sometimes guys pump up and they get the biceps too big and the triceps are a little small. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice tricep to bicep aesthetic problem.
He does. Like,
yeah, it's pretty great. Pretty great.
Yeah. He can fill that for me.
Yeah, so I don't know what they'll do with him, but athlete, freak, vascularity unmatched. Yeah, pretty great.
There is your draft report. Iowa State, Will McDonald IV went in the first round.
Get the bag, Will McDonald.
Absolutely.
I thought a lot of people had him mocked to the Chiefs at 31. I thought maybe he was like a fringe first rounder. And dude's a menace. Like, great pick, New York Jets. Go get the dude. Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I think he's going to be fantastic. We touched on Xavier Hutchinson getting drafted to the Texans, and then Anthony Johnson Jr. was drafted in the seventh round to the Packers. He plays safety.
Let me see John Heacock's playbook.
Hey, your best ability is availability, my guy. And why don't you report to the camp early with that playbook? So let's see, Kansas State. So the Kansas Jayhawks did not have anyone drafted. Boo, we don't like that. So they could have picked someone as a recognition for that season.
Talk about Kansas State. I'm going to look at, because I think, wasn't they Lonnie Phelps?
Have a UDFA, maybe? Or anyway, but I Kansas State.
Lonnie Phelps might have gone.
He didn't get drafted, but he might have gotten picked up.
The UDFA.
Yeah. Felix from Kansas State. Obviously, we talked about him going to the Chiefs 31st overall. Julius Brents went second overall. Love that pick for the Colts. He's a fantastic corner. Another
most notably argument for Julius Brents is by absence. Like when he was not on the field, Kansas State's defense was not as good.
Correct. The other corner, Josh Hage, got picked in the sixth round by the Bucks. And then our guy, Deuce Vaughn, got drafted in the sixth by the Dallas Cowboys. Touching moment. Everyone saw on ESPN. His dad, I think, is a scout for the Cowboys. And so it was really cool to get that moment. Yeah.
Love it. Kansas State, interestingly enough, great season, Big 12 champions. Their only losses were all like very good when you look back at it. Only four draft picks. Got to feel pretty good about Kansas State coming in. Like they did not lose a ton. Well, contrast to them to TCU when you get there. Like TCU, great season, lost a ton of dudes. Very interesting. Kansas State only losing four guys. Granted, very important four guys.
Yes.
And I think Malik Knowles, well, there's more guys they're losing. Malik Knowles, I think, went as well.
Yeah, I think he was a senior. Yeah.
I think he got signed. I don't think he was but yeah. So like they lost some important dudes, but still, Cade Warner, I think, was really important. Signed as an undrafted free agent, but yeah. So very, very interesting. They only had four draft picks from a really, really great team.
Yeah, I agree.
Can I point out?
Yeah.
Lonnie Phelps got $250,000 guaranteed and a $50,000 signing bonus on top of that.
Good for him.
Kansas edge rusher, Lonnie Phelps with the Cleveland Browns. Good for him.
Hell yeah, dude. Good for him. I hope Deuce makes a roster or at least just sticks around a training camp or gets traded to a team that isn't the Cowboys so I don't have to cheer for him on the Cowboys.
I wanted the Cowboys to take Bijan so bad. I wanted him to trade up for it. I thought it would have been so funny. We were giving Jamie all kinds of crap about that. I thought it would have been great. But like the combination of Tony Pollard and Deuce Vaughn is potentially like very annoying. I mean, Tony Pollard, Memphis in college, right?
Yeah.
Just like kind of a Deuce Vaughn player of if I don't have him accounted for on a play, we're going to get hurt. And you have two of those guys. I don't know if the Cowboys are the ones that are going to be able to employ that and leverage that. But again, potentially very annoying backfield there. And I think being annoying is a very, very good quality for a football team.
For anybody, really. It's a great skill to have if you know how to deploy it.
That's how I live my life.
Yeah, that's what this podcast is kind of built around. The Oklahoma Sooners, not a good year, but did it have five players drafted because they are Oklahoma? Let's see. Anton Harrison went in the first round to the Jaguars, tackle at number 27. Marvin Mims, my guy, went to the Broncos. I feel so bad for him in the second round. He's going to have to deal with Mr. Unlimited.
Hey, Big 12 connection there. Jared Stidham and Marvin Mims. Going to be a great duo this fall for the playoff Denver Broncos. Just wait for it.
Jesus. Wanya Morris, another tackle, drafted to the Chiefs in the third round. Eric Gray, the running back, drafted in the fifth to the Giants. And Braden Willis, the tight end, drafted to the 49ers in the seventh. Marvin Mims, I am so in on Marvin Mims. And he never really became like the all-destructive force that I thought he would. I've probably talked about him more on this podcast than several Oklahoma Sooner podcasts to talk about Marvin Mims. But I still believe in his talent, and I hope he succeeds in the pros.
This is the segue, and again, a deep track for people who've listened to us for a long time. You know who I thought about? I thought about you every week when I watched the XFL.
Who's that?
Because TJ Vasher plays for San Antonio. And San Antonio's offense is catastrophic. Like, it's so, so bad. But TJ Vasher was always open. I was just like, yep, that dude's a freak. And they just can't get him the ball. But I thought about that because we just talked about that for so long a couple years ago.
How many times have we said, TJ Vasher, you know, I mean, athlete, you got to guard him. You know, coaches I talk to say he's the best athlete I've ever seen.
I don't want to tout our scouting services, right? We're not coming for anybody. But I think that if you did the all purple theory obsession team, it would kick the ass of a lot of all-star teams. I think we know what we're talking about there.
It's basically like a, what if the troops put together a team? I think they could really win the NFS. What if we put together the Purple Theory All-Stars? How would they do?
Oh, my gosh.
Oklahoma
State. I'm laughing because anytime you say the troops, I think about that stupid Bo Burnham character in Parks and Rec where he plays Chip whatever, and he's like, a country music singer. Is this too obscure? Yeah, and he's
beer and troops.
God bless the moms of the troops or something. Yeah, just very dumb. Very dumb. Wanya Morris, didn't he do something real dumb? He was suspended, right?
Okay, well, that pulled up the Boys to Men member, so I'm going to make sure. Gonna go ahead and assume it's not that.
Is there a Boys to Men member? Boys to Men member.
Yeah.
Named Wanya Morris. Who knew?
He competed.
How have
we
not had more fun with that?
I don't know. He competed on Dancing with the Stars. He did miss two games to a suspension and one for unspecified reasons.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm not gonna speculate. But I'm pretty sure it was like, again, Grant, what's our life philosophy? Avoid preventable losses. I believe correct. That for at least a little bit, Wanya Morris did not avoid a preventable loss.
Yeah. And then Eric Grace, an interesting guy. I don't know. Sure, whatever.
Super involved. I think he was responsible for over a third of Oklahoma's shares when you count for passing and rushing, which is rare. 30%, especially for like a running back, is that's a lot, right? Not so much because he gets rushes and he gets passes, but like most running backs are going to be responsible for like 20 to 25% of a team's opportunities. Gray was in that 30 to 35% because he got so many passing opportunities as well. So versatile back. Again, you're taking a guy like that in the late round. You're swinging. You're just saying, look, man, come in, give me some good quality reps. You beat somebody out. That's great. We'll get you the ball.
Exactly. Parker, Oklahoma
And I think
State.
You saw as Oklahoma.
No, you're fine.
As Oklahoma kind of descended into madness for a little bit there, like the Texas game where they were running the Braden Willis cat, Eric Gray saved their bacon on multiple accounts. Like I think that's kind of a sneaky good pick for New York because Saquon, one, injury prone.
Yes.
Two, if I put Saquon in the backfield and put another running back on the field, I'm pretty versatile, and Eric Gray's pretty versatile there. So I think that's pretty fun.
True. Parker, Oklahoma State had two people drafted. Old Dominion had three. That's just a stat that I like.
Development cycles matter.
Sure. Tyler Lacey went in the fourth from defensive end and then to the Jaguars, and then Jason Taylor, the second, went to the Rams at number 234.
Tyler Lacey, who is multiple-year champion in wrestling.
Yep. We bring that up quite a bit.
I just really appreciate it. He's everything I'm not, you know? I just...
okay, let's get to TCU since we're here.
Yeah, going to the TCU. Great.
Yeah,
eight guys.
And
then Alana Lee and... Tay Barber got UDFAs?
Yep. So 10, really. QJ, first round to the Chargers. Steve Avila.
Okay, hold on. No, we're going to go line by line here.
Okay.
Quentin Johnston. Props for a draft party at Dave & Buster's.
Yes.
Impeccable. Props for my mom gave her 2 weeks' notice. What a – like, this is 2009 me saying baller, but like, yeah. What a baller line. Just be like, yeah, my mom retired today. Like, yeah. That is awesome. Yeah.
Cool great. As hell.
Yeah. That's like, maybe it's Warren Sapp, Work Done mm-hmm. had a great thing where he's like, yeah, I'm going to buy my mom a house. And then Work Done just like kept buying houses for people.
Yeah. He's like one of the nicest people. Yeah. Yeah. Like, he does so much charity work. Work Done's an awesome guy. Yeah. And QJ in that offense with Justin Herbert throwing to him, I think is going to be really interesting.
And not as the main option. I think that's been the problem with the top TC receiver the last couple of years, is they've been the number one option. And like Mike Williams, dude. And so I think if you're making people pick their poison, Herbert's an underrated quarterback. I think that's a really great fit for him.
I do too. Steve Avila goes to the Rams at guard in the second round. Good for Steve. When we first met Esteban.
Esteban crawled so Steve could run, man. Yeah.
that was a guy that developed like nobody's business over the course of his TCU tenure. And
like, I think, despite active sabotage to the contrary, I think he played five positions on the line last year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago, 2021. I mean, just absolute chaos. And the dude kept his head down and kept getting better and absolutely earned this spot.
He's had an offensive line coach once in the last 4 years. Once.
Just absurd.
Kendra Miller to the Saints. That's going to be fun. Maybe a change of pace to Kamara or something like that. But I think that's
interesting because, yeah, you look at their second best rusher behind –
Abe Kamara is the safety for TCU.
Oh my gosh, I was all over the place. I was like, who's the Japanese prime minister who just died recently?
Shinzo Abe?
Yeah, that's not right. But that's, I don't know, man. I just was like, there's just some weird word association happening in my head there.
Alvin Kamara
was Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
And then Mark Ingram, who is getting old. So I think Kendrick could come in and get some meaningful snaps there. Yeah, that's a great fit.
For sure. We talked about Dylan Horton to the Texans. Darius Davis goes to the Chargers. So two TCU wide receivers to the Chargers.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, or have him return punts. Travis Hodges-Tomlinson to the Rams in the sixth round. Probably too small to make it in the NFL. Still really glad he got drafted.
I think that, yeah. So I had a friend text me like, what the heck? How did that happen? And I mean, dude measured 5'7" then in an eighth. I think he was listed at 5'10" on TC's roster, which good on you. That's great. But I think that his best case scenario is situational. So like third and long, for instance, he can come in and be like the third or fourth defensive back there. But in terms of every down, I think he's going to have to claw and fight to get there. And I don't know that he can. Not from a standpoint of talent, but from the standpoint of just like physicality, it's going to be hard. But I think he landed in the spot at the sixth round. Your expectation for that guy is not, again, good
quality. Just make a roster.
Practice reps. I think he'll make a roster. Yep.
Just make a roster. You know what? Put him on special teams. Put him as a gunner. He can lay somebody out.
He's so little, man. You might
get he will fly that way. D. Winters to the 49ers. Also good for D. Another guy who had to shoulder a ton of the burden in that defense and switched from a 4-2-5 to a 3-3-5 and still did it well. So cool. All right, Parker. In the seventh round, with the 239th pick to the Los Angeles Chargers, Max effing Duggan was drafted.
Shout out to the haters and the losers, of whom there are many. I think that... it's funny because like he was a 4-star like Gatorade National Player of the Year. Still. Like, it's not actually a big deal that he was drafted. It was just like, oh, you came into a shit situation and then you almost died, and you're still in the NFL. That's awesome. That's awesome. I think I said this on the podcast the other day, and I'm going to say it again. But I was on Solid Verbal a couple weeks ago, which one dream come true? Awesome, so great. But they were like, how did you feel about Max Duggan's breakout? Like, was that validating or whatever? And I was like, guys, you don't know who you're talking to. Like, I have receipts. Like I have in my wallet receipts right here. I could show you of me arguing with people that wanted Stephon frickin' Brown to start.
I forgot about the Stephon Brown era.
Stephon Brown's offensive coordinator, who was the offensive coordinator from Last Chance U, with that guy, that Jason Brown guy, unrelated to Stephon Brown, who was like an absolute crazy guy. That dude was in my DMs, like yelling at me saying like, Stephon's going to be a star. It was a wild time. The pandemic just did a number on all of us, man. Just really did.
Hell yeah, Max. I'm just so happy for him. Anyway, okay. Good for
Max. Max's best case scenario, I think we can be, again, we're saying it without sure. Max's best case scenario is that the, excuse me, the Chargers have carried three quarterbacks in eight of the last 10 years. So he'll mm-hmm. make the roster and be a football guy. And I think he could have a career as a, we're looking at a Chase Daniel kind of situation.
Down with that. Maybe a little Jim Sorgi.
And I think that Max deserves that. And I think that's great.
Absolutely deserves that. Do you remember that SI cover? It was Chase Daniel and Blaine Gabbert. Dude. They were in Mizzou, and it was like, who's next? Like, you know, this guy might win the Heisman. Is that even better? And it was Chase Daniel and Blaine Gabbert.
Man, good times.
What a time to be alive. Good okay. The Texas Longhorns had five players drafted. Bijan Robinson went eighth to the Falcons, further haunting our friend Matt Jennings.
The Falcons had a 1,000-yard rookie rusher last year in Tyler Algier.
They sure did. Yeah.
And they used their first-round pick to draft for Bijan Robinson.
Look, life is a gift.
It's not my money. Nothing matters. That's fine.
Nothing matters. Demarvion Overshown went to the Cowboys, so that's another defensive player they have that can't tackle. That'll be great. Roshan
Can they
Johnson.
Move him to another position inside? So he was outside linebacker his freshman year. Then he's like kind of they brought him in a little bit, and then he played middle linebacker his senior year. Can they like put him even further inside? Is there like another way they could slot him so he doesn't have to make tackles in space? I don't know.
Put him at nose tackle. Roshan Johnson went to the Bears, running back in the fourth round.
You want to talk about steals?
Yeah, man.
I think that dude, I'm going to toss out a number. 120 FBS programs that Roshan Johnson would have been the number one back.
Wow. Okay. I can see it.
That dude can play. And I think in Chicago, in a young offense, he could absolutely carve out a spot. It would not surprise me. Here's a hot take. Not in terms of like fantasy points, better career, but in terms of more success at the playoff level and beyond. If Roshan has a better career than Bijan, just based on where they landed.
That's going to be really interesting to watch. We'll see. Let's see. Keandre.
Four and five star dudes, big dudes, just drafting athletes, right?
Yes. I was looking to verify that SI cover. I couldn't freaking find it. So maybe I'm wrong. I'm an idiot. Who knows? It definitely happened with some school. I thought Coburn probably could have gone higher. I liked what he did at Texas, but
I wonder if they're worried about. So Kansas City's a good spot to land if this is the case.
Well, yeah.
I wonder if they're worried about how much he can play in the NFL. Yeah, it's kind of like Ika a little bit. It's just like some of these big dudes. Because what was it at Texas? It was like Sweat and Coburn and Ojomo. He's listed at this table's bad. He's listed. Ojomo's listed at DE, but I didn't think he was. He was more tackle.
Yeah.
And there's a fourth guy whose name's escaping me, but like they rotated a ton. And so if there's concerns about whether it's not like Jordan Walker from last year, where it's like, oh, we only played on 13% of snaps because that was like the front or whatever. It's like, oh, we rotated through a bunch of these big dudes because they weren't in good enough condition to play. I think that's a little bit more of the concern there. So I think an NFL team with a staff of healthcare professionals and strength and conditioning coaches could probably figure it out. But I think that's something he's going to have to grow into.
Yeah, it was Murphy, I believe, was the other guy.
Yeah, because I agree. 6'194", that seems low for my estimation of him. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a really good player. And then the last last Big 12 player, actually second last Big 12 player we talked about was the first drafted. Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech went to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, again, kind of like with Kansas State. You did lose a lot of guys. There's a lot of talent there. I think that without Tyree Wilson, they were a different team, and that certainly shows. But Wilson, I mean, there's a couple pictures of Wilson next to like the rest of the Texas Tech defensive linemen, and it looks like that picture of Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram, where it's just an entirely different class of athlete. I think, again, Texas Tech was able to take a chance on a freak, and he panned out and is a great athlete. And good for him, man. I think that some of the aggregate stats probably underwhelm people in the Big 12. But again, we talk about defensive line. So much of that is gravity And so sometimes the stats kind of don't bear out the fact that, like, we watched the TCU game, for instance, and TCU was so terrified of him that they, like, would not drop back to pass. which, again, happened.
It was like a real thing that happened.
Self-fulfilling cycle, because then you end up in third and long and Tyree Wilson eats your milkshake. But, yeah. You know, yeah, yeah.
By the way, I found it. It was the ESPN the magazine cover.
Oh.
But it was Chase it. Daniel. And then
you
Chase,
feel like a dummy.
And then Chase Patton was the other quarterback.
Wait, hold on. Chase Patton from?
Dude, don't ask me where Chase Patton's from.
Google it. Let me think for a second. Well, Chase Daniel went to Missouri. Chase Patton. Dude, it's going to be somewhere dumb. It's going to be like Michigan State.
No, he played at Missouri the entire time.
What is this cover?
It's ESPN the magazine cover. I'll send it to you. Anyway. And then the final Big 12 player selected in our rundown, Dante Stills from West Virginia, defensive tackle to the Cardinals. I can't believe he slipped to the sixth.
This feels like an indictment on Neil Brown, frankly.
Yes.
And I know they had to put it diplomatically, a defensive coordinator disruption, which is a very charitable way to put that situation. But yeah, it felt like the Stills brothers just didn't become what I thought they would become.
Yeah, but I still think there's enough talent there to where, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he made a roster.
Bad team. At the Cardinals. Yes. Need defensive linemen. I think he could absolutely, get some reps there. And could be one of those guys where it's, like, his perception and, like, because some of this stuff, especially in, you know, you get to, like, the fourth to seventh round, for instance, and a lot of times the difference between, like, the fourth and the seventh round is that coaches talked you up or they didn't. Yeah. And it could be the case that, like, Neil Brown is also bad at this part of the job. It wouldn't surprise me because he's bad at the other parts of his job. But I guess we're never having Scott Satterfield or Neil Brown on this podcast. So we're just putting that. That's just not going to happen.
I think we've kind of burned those ships.
Oh, man.
UCF also did not have anybody drafted, we should mention. So
interesting. I don't necessarily associate them with NFL talent, although there are a couple guys. It'll be interesting to see Gus's strategy of taking kind of an Ellis Island Gus strategy there at UCF. Will be interesting to see what his portal does to how they shape up in the NFL.
Hey, sorry, I'm going back. I can't believe Tanner McKee was drafted before Max Duggan.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here's the thing. If I'm designing an offense from scratch, I would prefer Max Duggan to Tanner McKee for college, right?
Yeah, fair. I know.
If my offense is pro style and I need a pocket passer.
Okay. All right. Whatever. Just one of those guys finished second in the Heisman Trophy.
At least Tyson Bagot didn't go in front of Max Duggan.
That is true.
He's a D2 quarterback from like Shepherd and just signed with a really good agent. And so you heard his name and they were talking him up and it's like, come on guys. Come on.
What are we doing here? You know, Shepherd University, signed with the Bears. I mean, he did throw. Well, I mean, what's his name? Bailey Zappi did it.
Okay. But Tyson Bagot didn't transfer up. He only played at D2. can I tell you, okay. We've been going for a while on this. Oh, it's only 48 minutes. I don't feel terrible about that. It's great. Because we still have we'll probably have 10 minutes of planning here at the end of this podcast. And we like to include our listeners on the planning. XFL champion Max Duggan has a nice ring to it.
Hook him up with Stoops. Dude. Get him in there. I'm fine with it.
You just got to think about what we're doing here. And, he can go make two years of really good money and then go to the XFL and start coaching kids at DFW and settle down. And, you know, once every 6 months just walks into rock bottom and just has a beer and stares at the college kids and just kind of knows like, this used to be me, man. This used to be me.
Do you think if Max Duggan opens a passing academy in DFW, am I too old to like sign up?
Well, like so sometimes these MLB teams do like the legends thing.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
The old dudes pay money to go do baseball camp with the old guys.
Right.
I bet Max Duggan could do great with that in DFW.
I'm going to look into that. Parker, is there anything else we need to talk about before next week, which we will start team previews next week with the Kansas Jayhawks?
Yeah. So I think, again, we just kind of listed players on the draft, and that wasn't, you know, it's content. That's great. We are going to hit.
Thanks for poo-pooing the last 50 minutes of recording there,
buddy. If you listen to this podcast, you're a rube. That's what I'm saying. I think so. So we just counted before this podcast. There are like 15 weeks until college football starts.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 14 teams in the Big 12. Sure. So we are going to have to work on that and figure out our schedule and everything. So I think what we'll do is we'll start with Kansas next week.
Next week.
Because it's time. I'm of the opinion that we do no guests again. Are you cool with no guests?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. And so we'll start with Kansas as we always do. And then here's my fun thing. Cause we're going to basically have to do, there's no way we're going to double up some weeks and then release some stagger them. That's fine. They don't have to know about that. At the end of every episode, we'll do a random number generator and we'll put the other 13 teams 1 through 13. I feel like, okay, I don't want to do this. I don't necessarily want to do this, but like, if you listen to this and you're interested in like our prep and our spreadsheets and our graphics, I'll tweet some of that out. Like, if you want to see our spreadsheet, I think there's 3 or 4 people who have asked me about prep.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy to share that. I think that if we were a different kind of podcast, we'd be like, hey, for $10, you can see our, and I don't want to do that. No. I don't care about that. But Grant and I both have jobs. We do this. This is fun. And we like hanging out with each other and learning about football. So I think that's 2 things I'll say. One, if you want to see our prep, we're happy to share it. We're no promises about it being good or like intelligible, but we're happy to share it in terms of, you know, just be like Google Sheets and some graphics and stuff. 2, Grant and I are thinking about doing some video. I think we're going to try it for the Kansas game, and it won't be much more than I'll have a graphic or two I can throw up there, and then it'll be our faces and we'll put it on YouTube. If you have a strong opinion about like, hey, video would be awesome or video would be terrible, help us out. Like, we don't know. Tell me, DM me on Twitter. I just want to know if that's something you guys are interested in. Again, you'll just see my beard and Grant's ugly mug, you know, drinking a beer and talking about football. I think the potential for that is cool because then we could potentially like go live while we're recording on Wednesday night. And then you guys could like hop in with comments or whatever. I think that's kind of interesting. And so we're going to explore that. Let's say we're going to explore that.
And we're going to use the Kansas Jayhawks as a trial balloon and just see how
next week, Kansas Jayhawks live stream. That's also going to be on a podcast as well.
We're going to have to tell the Nielsen rating people to prepare for brand new numbers.
Let's make sure. You call the NHL offices. I'll call the NBA offices. Okay. Make sure they don't schedule a game on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Okay. I have a direct line to Adam Silver. So that works.
I didn't even know who that is. Is that the NBA or the NHL guy?
It's the NBA commissioner.
Cool. I think I'm good. I think I'm excited to start these dang previews and, yeah, it's going to be fun, man. Football's closer a little bit every day, right?
Every day. We finally march out of the darkness. Parker, this has been the Purple Theory Podcast presented by Dave Campbell's Texas Football. We are part of the Republic of Texas Football Network and very proud to be so. My name is Grant McGalliard. You can find me on Twitter at Grant McGalliard. It's spelled like it sounds with all those vowels. He is Dr. Parker Fleming. He is on Twitter at StatsOWAR. You can find him there. We will be back next week with videos and a podcast talking about the Kansas Jayhawks. Make sure to listen to the new Turnpike song that comes out on Friday, May 5th. And until next time, adios.